There's no doubt about it. The gospel message brings offense. Why then do we try to candy coat it and water it down?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So that's my question. That's my honest question I want to talk with you about today on this Wednesday on The Line of Fire as we focus on the world and things that are happening in our society from a kingdom perspective. Jesus was controversial, not because he tried to do weird and wild things, but because he was the truth of God and revealed the truth of God and spoke the truth of God and lived out the truth of God, and therefore he was controversial. And ultimately, he was not just controversial, he was crucified for who he was. Yes, and the gospel brings offense. It was prophesied over Jesus, Yeshua, just as a baby by Simeon in Luke, the second chapter, that he would be a sign spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts would be revealed, that he was appointed for the falling and rising of many in Israel, not just for the blessing of many in Israel, but to be a sign spoken against. Many would fall, others would rise, some would fall before they rose. He would reveal what's in people's hearts. You read through the book of Acts, there's conflict and controversy wherever the gospel goes. There's either revival or there's riot or there's both. Why do we try to candy coat the message? Why do we try to water it down? Could it be that some of our so-called wisdom is just a desire to save our face and save our reputation and save our lives and get people to accept us? If the gospel that Jesus preached and lived brought offense and brought opposition, if the gospel that Peter and Paul and John and the apostles preached and lived brought offense and opposition, if the gospel that has been preached and lived by fiery servants of the Lord through the centuries has brought controversy and opposition, why do we think we can avoid it? Why do we think we can preach a gospel message and have everybody like us? Why do we think that we can be accepted by God and accepted by a world that hates God at the same time? What do you think? I mean, honestly, why do you think that so many times we just don't tell the whole truth? Or we candy coat things in such a way as to disguise the truth or water it down or try to take away its sting and thereby its power? What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. That's the number to call. 866-348-7884. And there is already a lively discussion taking place on my Facebook page, which is Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown, on Facebook. Folks are weighing in with some excellent observations as well. I'm going to share some of them with you, but I'd love to hear from you. And through the broadcast, I'm going to be sharing some things happening in the world, happening in the news, happening in America, happening in the nations, to remind us of how lost this world is, how confused this world is, how messed up this world is, how much this world needs the great physician. Here's some really stunning news. We hear about casualties in Afghanistan. And that's striking. That's maybe it's a family member of yours that was killed in Afghanistan. I mean, we hear this news, and it's absolutely tragic to hear of more of our troops being killed in Afghanistan. But do you know that it's far more dangerous to live in Chicago, than to be a soldier in Afghanistan? Do you know that we've had something like 140 Americans killed in Afghanistan this year? That's 140 too many. And there have been many others killed, Afghans and people from other nations. But 140 Americans killed in Afghanistan, in the country, serving in the military, in the country of Afghanistan. And something like 224 killed in Chicago. More dangerous to live in Chicago than to be a soldier in Afghanistan. Something's wrong.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I hear those words echoing in my ears right now. Voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution. I'm here in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, flying out, God willing, after the show today, back to Charlotte, North Carolina, and was talking to students here in a ministry school about not just revival, but revolution. How more of the same will only produce more of the same. Revolution is radical, dramatic, sweeping change. We need revolution in the church that will bring revolution in society. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org is the website. I'm not talking about a worldly revolution. I'm not talking about a political movement. God forbid, I am absolutely not talking about a violent revolution. I'm talking about a Jesus revolution. Jesus is radical. Jesus does not just come to pat us on the back and give us a better life so we can be happy and prosperous and have the latest technology and the best car and the most beautiful home. If he's blessed you with all that, that's fine, but that's not the purpose of the gospel. The purpose of the gospel is to deliver us from the clutches of Satan, the clutches of sin, the clutches of a sinning world, and to bring us into the clutches of a holy God so that we can serve him and love him and make him known. Here's how you boil down our life. Why are we here? To know God and to make him known. To be disciples and to make disciples. Friends, that's revolutionary. That's not found in a church program. That's not found in a little manual. That's found out of a real encounter with God. And out of that encounter with God, we are changed, and by his grace, we go and change our world. And the core message is one that brings reproach and opposition. It's that God saves the world through his son who died a criminal's death on the cross, and that outside of him there is no salvation, and that people must repent and turn from their sins to be right with God. Why don't we just tell the truth in our personal witnessing from our pulpits, through radio, through book, through TV? Why do we so often feel we have to water it down? Wisdom is wonderful. Compassion is foundational. But a lot of our so-called wisdom and so-called compassion is just a wishy-washy, spineless message, a message that doesn't confront, a message that doesn't rescue people from sin, a message that doesn't bring a radical change of life. It's a message that basically tells people how to add Jesus into their lives and then have a better life. That's not the gospel. 866-34-TRUTH. Why do we water it down? Why is there so much compromise in so much of our preaching? Why do we lower the standard of God as if that's going to bring people higher? Here, listen to this news. I'm interspersing different news stories through the day to remind us of how desperately we need something radical in our society. This report on several different websites. Is Chicago more dangerous than Afghanistan? So far in 2012, more people have been killed in the metropolitan Midwest city than the number of U.S. servicemen in Afghanistan. Barely 6 months into 2012, Chicago has already hosted 228 homicides. Overseas in Afghanistan, the body count for U.S. troops has reached a comparatively meager 144. And the report says a comparably meager. It doesn't downplay these 144 deaths of our servicemen. It simply says here in the front lines of a war in hostile territory with radical Islam all around you, we've lost 144. Whereas in Chicago, just one of our big cities, 228 homicides. We need something radical, friends. We need holy upheaval. We need such a change in the church. Look, let's tell the truth. America is in death throes in many ways. America is so compromised and so weighed down with moral failure and in such rebellion against God in other ways and so lost without God in other ways that we need to speak with urgency. I don't mean yelling and screaming at people, but recognizing things need to change. And what we see on a national level is symptomatic of what's happening on a personal level. Why do we water down the message? Do you agree with me that we water it down? Do you agree with me? That's my premise to start. that there are all too few who are sounding an alarm in America, all too few. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I could do a much better job. We could all do a much better job. But sadly, as I look around, I hear more pep talk Christianity than I hear calls for repentance. I hear more motivational speaking and more kind of feel-good type of stuff, and then more, what do you want to call them, esoteric revelation, stuff that's just out there that doesn't impact the life and is hardly necessary and doesn't make us into world changers to go into the rest of the world and share the good news. I hear more of that than I hear a clear message of repentance and holiness and turn to God in the church, and a clear message sounding the alarm to the world to get right with God, that we're going to stand before him one day. Let me just give you one other number. You can call this throughout the broadcast. It's 1-800-278-9978. Number we give out every day. I'm just giving it out earlier today. This is not to get on the air. This is to speak to our team if you want to stand with us. I'm appealing to those who believe in what we're doing, appealing to those who believe in the alarm that we're sounding, appeal to those who appreciate the teaching and the equipping that comes 5 days a week, 2 hours a day from this broadcast around America and by internet around the world. We need many to stand with us so we can effectively do what God's calling us to do and lift some burdens off and enable us to step into some new territory for the gospel. So if you want to partner with us, this is listener supported. If you want to partner with us, here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. For your gift of any size, my thank you to you will be my 300-plus page book, Revolution, the Call of Holy War, which will rivet you and charge you and challenge you and encourage you and embolden you as you read it, as many tens of thousands have been impacted through it by God's grace through the years. That'll be my thank you to any of you that stand with us, 1-800-278-9978, and if you become a torchbearer today, a monthly supporter giving at least $25 or more, know that that gift will be coming to you along with other tokens of our appreciation for standing with us on a monthly basis. You can also do that online by going to AskDrBrown.org right on the home page. How about this news? Are you ready? From Auburn, Washington. It's gender-neutral bathroom week at Green River Community College. Some of the main restrooms on the Green River Community College campus are being transformed into gender-neutral spots this week to raise awareness for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. I point this out not to compare it to murder in the city of Chicago. I point this out to talk about massive moral confusion in our society. Both men and women can use the designated bathrooms. But these aren't the single stall kind that let you lock the door so nobody can get in. These are your typical multi-stall restrooms. Why the change? This is according to Danny Chang, GRCC Director of Student Services. Are you listening? Let's say there's a transgender born a male transitioning to be a female, and there is male in there and assumes it might be a female, and they don't like that and harasses them. That student is not going to use the restroom anymore. So hang on, you are going to make restrooms at the community college, Green River Community College, Auburn, Washington. You're going to make the restrooms there gender neutral this week so that you don't know who's using it, a male or a female. And it could be a female who looks like a male or a male who looks like a female because they're in the midst of sex change surgery or just identifying differently, cross-dressing, and you don't know who's who, and you go, you got to use the bathroom. You have a legitimate need. You got to use the bathroom. Quote, let's say there's a transgender born a male transitioning to be a female, and there is a male in there and assumes it might be a female, and they don't like that. In other words, lady, what are you doing in the men's room? Sir, what are you doing in the ladies' room? Oh, and now it could be someone cross-dressing in the midst of sex change, transition, and this is for you to know that anybody could be in either bathroom, shut up, and be nice. Oh, all right. It's one thing to harass a person. It's another thing to want to be teaching people lessons in the bathroom. So you might find a man in the men's room or a woman in the man in the ladies' room, lady in the men's room. Oh, it's confusing even to say it. And just accept it. And this is going to be a growing lesson for the community college. You think we're not confused in America today? You think we haven't lost our moral bearings? You, I don't know whether to laugh or cry when I hear news like that. 866-34-TRUTH. I ask the question, the true gospel will always offend the flesh. Why do we try to candy coat it? Here's some comments on the Ask Dr. Brown page. To many, it's desire of the approval of men. Too many desire the approval of man. Here's another. Because we're living a sugar-coated gospel life. We'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So here's my question again. If the true gospel message offends the flesh, why do we try to candy coat it? Why do we try to blunt its truth and piercing nature? Why do we try to preach it in a way that is acceptable and thereby remove the offense of the cross? Why do we think that we will avoid persecution for speaking the truth when Jesus didn't, when Paul didn't, when Peter didn't, when leaders through the ages haven't, when leaders around the world are not? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. A recent survey says that 76% of Americans identify themselves as Christians. 76% identify themselves as Christians, down from about 10%, down 10% roughly from about 85% in years previous or decades previous. It's not because they've all become atheists, but many have just dropped out of Christianity or churchianity or church and no longer identify themselves as Christians. According to this survey, 76% identify themselves as Christians, but Pew Forum's religious survey said only 45% know who the Gospels are attributed to, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I don't believe that. I know a survey was done. I don't think that's accurate. I don't think 45% of Americans can identify the authors of the four Gospels. I mean, unless they just memorized it so it just blurts out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I don't think that's accurate. I think it's less. I think it's far less. And then how many actually read the Scriptures on a daily basis? How many actually share their faith on any type of regular basis? How many are involved in actively seeking to lead people to the Lord through their personal witness and through prayer and through service in other ways and through their giving? That's a tiny percentage. And how many are willing to tell the truth even if it offends? Look, Jesus said he didn't come for the righteous but for the sinners. And the first thing people had to realize was that they were sinners. And the self-righteous didn't get it. He said, it's only those who are sick who need a physician. He said he came for the sick. We don't need you. We're healthy. That's the first problem. They didn't realize they were sick. People who think they're healthy, people who think they're righteous, don't like being told they're unhealthy and they're unrighteous. That's part of the stumbling block of the gospel. The good news is Jesus is the great physician that he saves and heals. Jesus is the one that changes us from the inside out. Jesus is the one that pays for all of our sins. It's a wonderful message, but the truth of the message offends people. It's offensive to Muslims to say that Jesus, Yeshua, is the only way to God and, in fact, is the eternal Son of God, which means, even if we don't say it directly, that Muhammad is a false prophet and the Quran is not the word of God. That message will get you killed in much of the world. It's offensive to tell people of other religions that their religion does not save and does not bring them to God. It's offensive for me as a Jew to tell other Jews that they need Jesus Yeshua to be in right relationship with God, no matter how religious and hardworking they are to please him. They need Jesus Yeshua for their sins to be forgiven. That message is offensive. And then when we call people to repent, when we expose sin, when the light within us exposes the darkness of the world, people won't like that. Why do we think we can get away with some cheap, happy message that doesn't tell the whole truth? 866-34-TRUTH. I asked the question on my Facebook page. True gospel will always offend the flesh. Why do we try to candy coat it? Shannon said, or worse, we water it way down to where you don't even know if it's there. Frank, even the flesh or carnality of the church is offended by the true gospel of grace. Michael said this, we try to candy coat it for a number of reasons. Unbelief, fear, pride, ignorance. What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. And I'm interspersing this biblical message, this biblical teaching, these biblical thoughts with things happening in the news around the world to remind us of how fallen and broken and lost this world is. Therefore, how urgent it is that we tell the truth, nothing but the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth. 866-34-TRUTH. Jim in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
This is Jim.
Yes, Jim. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. This process that you're talking about that's happened to America and to the world is not fast. It's been happening for a long time. I grew up in the 60s. When I grew up and went to college, we had separate dormitories for men and women. Today, men and women have the same dormitories. And it's like the experiment you've always heard about, the boiling frog. You put a frog in a beaker of cool water and then turn the temperature up just a little bit at a time. And pretty soon the water's boiling, and the frog didn't even try to get out of it, and he died. And that's what's happening in America. And I read a book recently. It's called Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. And what it's about is how Americans and many people walk around sleepwalking, not paying attention, just in their own little world. It's entertainment-driven, money-driven, and not really paying attention to all the things that's going on.
Yeah, and Jim, just to jump in, you know, with a little child, the kid's crying or something, you know, a baby, an infant, a toddler, and you wave something at him, you get them distracted. You know, they want something over here, and you just wait, oh, well, come on, play with that. Oh. And they look, they get distracted. That's how many of us do live in this world. I mean, we have forgotten our larger purpose. We have forgotten our larger vision. We have forgotten our larger calling. We have forgotten the urgency of the hour because all the entertainment and the sports and the technology and all about me and my dreams and the fashion and whatever it is, that renovating the house or the garden or, you know, whatever the stocks or whatever our fancy is. And the devil waves those things at us and the world waves those things at us. And we're just like those children. You're right. Kind of sleepwalking actively. We lose sight. We lose sight. Jim, thank you for the call and for sharing that. Friends, it's challenging to keep your focus here in America. It's challenging to keep your focus with all the distractions calling to us, appealing to us. And everybody has different areas of weakness or different areas of fleshly temptation or different areas of distraction. But we are really in the most distracted generation in human history, with more distractions and more potential pleasures and more potential things pulling at us. And to step back and understand the plan and purpose of God can often be challenging. All right, we have much more to say on this subject. My book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War, addresses these things head on, even talks about smashing the idols of materialism and gives us a high vision of our calling in Jesus. I'm asking you to stand with us. I'm making a simple appeal. Stand with me. Believe God with me. Throw in your forces, your help, your giving with me as we make a difference for the gospel here and around the world. Your gift of any size, my thank you, will be the book Revolution, The Call of Holy War. It has revolutionized many readers. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size, my thank you to you, will be a copy of Revolution, The Call to Holy War. And if you become a torchbearer today, monthly supporter, we'll be sending that out to you as well. 1-800-278-9978. Come on, let's stand tall. Let's speak the truth. Let's not be ashamed of our Savior and of His message.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Our subject, the offensive nature of the gospel. God told the children of Israel, Malachi 3, that he would visit them. He would visit the temple, then said, but who can endure the day of his appearing? It's ultimately a prophecy of the coming of Jesus, visiting that second temple. Who can endure the day of his appearing? He's going to come like a refiner's fire. He's going to bring sin to the surface. He's going to bring unclean things to the surface. He's going to show human rebellion against God and give us a solution, God's antidote. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Is it that we're trying to save our lives? Is it that we are simply trying to be accepted by people? Look, you know me. I'm not afraid of controversy. In fact, I often run to it in obedience to the calling of God. And in fact, the more opposition, often the more bold I am. But I don't like to be rejected any more than you do, just in terms of friends and people you care about, or just be looked at as a jerk. I don't thrive on that any more than you would. I'm called to certain things, and I've got thick skin, but I would rather that people like me. I would rather that the person I'm sharing the gospel with that I've known for years, or a student that I went to school with, or a neighbor, I'd much rather that they liked me and liked the message than that they scorned me or mocked me or treated me or my family with hostility. Rejection stings. Shamefully, sadly, many of us compromise the message, water it down, try to make it palatable to the flesh, acceptable so it doesn't offend anyone, because we would rather offend God than offend people. Well, it may not be conscious, but that's the reality. That we are more ashamed of the truth of the gospel than we are concerned about other people's souls and other people's well-being. 866-34-TRUTH. You know, before I go back to the calls, back to your calls, this is part of my own life calling. I've lived this out for years, that many times when I go to bring a message or speak somewhere, it's completely innocent on my part. And yet it brings stuff up to the surface. I was once going to bring a message, similar theme to what I'm talking about today here, to a Christian gathering, and suddenly not going to happen. No, I can't bring the message. Why? Well, they were afraid I was going to bring up the issue of homosexual activism, and that might create some opposition. Are you serious? Number one, this is a Christian gathering, and I'm going to model how to do things in a way that is gracious and respectful, even if people came to oppose. But that's not even the thrust of my message. That's not what I'm speaking about. And you don't want me to speak because you're afraid that I might bring up this controversial subject. And suddenly all this stuff came up to the surface. It's remarkable. Remarkable. I've been in churches sometimes and just brought a simple message that I didn't think was controversial at all. Not the kind of message I'd need to talk to the pastor or leaders and say, hey, look, I feel this is on my heart to bring, and I know this may stir things up. I want to share this with you first. No, nothing like that. I'm just talking about something I think is innocent, only to find out, boom, it explodes, all these issues and controversies in the church. And I've seen what happens when the word of truth comes. I've seen what happens. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and active. And it pierces to the very division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's why, again, Jesus in Luke 2 prophesied over as a little baby. He's appointed as a sign to be spoken against. And through him, the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. You find out who's with God, who's not, who's for him, who's against him. Back with your calls. Why are we candy coating the gospel?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, coming your way live from Pennsylvania before flying home a few hours from now. We're talking about the gospel. It's offensive. Not that we and our personalities should be offensive, but the gospel message itself stirs up opposition. The gospel message itself stirs up rejection. The gospel message itself gets people crucified, gets people kicked out of jobs, gets people rejected, hated. Why then, if the message itself can be offensive, why do we try to water it down? You know what it's like. 866-348-7884. Facebook, you can weigh in there. ASKDR Brown. Ask Dr. Brown one word on Facebook. You know what it's like? It's like a doctor who has to do surgery and who has to cut into someone and cut through tough, you know, cut through bones and different things. But, you know, I don't want to hurt the person. So do you blunt the knife? Do you blunt the scalpel? Do you blunt the cutting tools? Or do you know by cutting, you're going to heal? By cutting, you're going to bring life? By speaking the truth, you're going to reveal error? It's just so frustrating to see a nation in such desperate need and a church often in such desperate confusion. And we just want to give people a pep talk. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to upset anybody. We just want everybody to smile and have a good time. That's not the gospel. 866-34-TRUTH. Joe in Stony Brook on Long Island, where I used to teach in the 80s. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
How's it going, Dr. Brown?
Doing well, thank you, sir.
Good, good. Yeah, I've seen you at Pastor Anderson's recently.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Right. Are you listening on WLIX?
WLIX Radio.
All right, on Long Island. Wonderful. Well, thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate it. It was great hearing you over at Pastor Anderson's. I really enjoyed it. Learned a lot and, appreciate your Holy Spirit fire.
Well, we got to keep burning, man. It's the only way to live. Yes, so what are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's a combination of things, but I would say a distorted grace message, maybe. You know, we're trying not to offend the brethren. They don't want to lose them. They don't want to offend them. So they try to, you know, modify things a bit. And I think that's where the problem is. And when you modify things, you know, you don't have to modify it. You can't modify God's word. You just got to say it the way it is and lay it out and let the chips fall. Where they may. You can't play games with the gospel. That's what the problem is. So people don't have the fire desire, you know.
Very true.
Revival starts within each individual also. So it's part of the brethren's, you know, the body's fault too, the body of Christ. They need to seek, you know, on their own as well.
Yeah, it starts with us. The confusion of the world is largely due to the lack of moral clarity in the church. And the state of godlessness in society often reflects the lack of God's presence and reality in the church. Hey, Joe, will keep going after him and standing for what's right. And by his grace, the tide can be turned. Thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Stephen in New York. All right, we lost Stephen in New York City. Bob in Boston, Massachusetts. We lost Bob. Let's go to Errol in Frederick, Maryland. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, how's it going, Dr. Brown? I really appreciate your ministry. Don't agree with you on everything, but I have to say you are certainly on fire. So, but hey, I did have some thoughts. So I grew up in South Central Los Angeles because you talked about the murder rate in Chicago and stuff like that. I mean, I grew up in a pretty violent part of the country as a young person. And there was a church on every corner. So I knew gang members that went to church. I knew prostitutes that went to church. It was crazy. I mean, so I think back to the parable that Jesus talked about with the sower of the seed and, you know, saying that, you know, he's sowing the seed and it's, you know, some fell on stony ground, some fell on good ground. And I really think it's the state and the condition of the person's heart. And, I mean, I know that I agree with you that there is certainly some watering down of the gospel in this country. However, the gospel is still effectiveness, regardless, you know, if it's preached, you know, through somebody who's doing a great job or somebody who's doing a poor job. I think, you know.
So let me ask you this, Errol. The gospel is still powerful, and God still works and supernaturally saves and changes lives, even if the vessel bringing the gospel is deficient in certain ways. But what if the vessel is not really bringing the gospel? Isn't that going to have an effect?
I agree with you, and I agree 100% with you. And I think what I was mentioning is in the area I grew up in, and I was raised in church, and, you know, all of the old folks in the church and, you know, all of the elders and the mothers, and they were really holy people. I mean, they stressed to you living a holy life. They mm-hmm. stressed salvation. They talked about, you know, the repentance of sins. And, why didn't that spirit or that, why wasn't, you know, if you talk about that same spirit, that type of preaching and the numerous churches in the environment I grew up in, how come that didn't affect change in those neighborhoods?
That's a great question. And you can say, okay, it's the condition of the hearts of the people hearing it. But when Jesus gave that parable in Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8, the parable of the sower, he gave it not just to explain aspects of God's sovereignty, but to call people to examine their hearts. And in other words, when you hear that, you say, Lord, I want my heart to be good ground. I'm not going to be one of those distracted hearers that just lets the word go in one ear and out the other. Lord, I'm not going to be one of those stony ground hearers. Lord, I'm shallow. I'm a shallow person. I get enthused and then I quit quickly. I need your help. I need your grace. That's part of the reason for the parable. But the question as to how you can have a church on every street and have a community kind of going to hell in a handbasket around it, that's an important question. I think one we need to talk about further on another broadcast. But my thoughts in short are that often we preach to the choir. In other words, we preach a strong message within the house, and we fail to be the church in the society and to actually get involved in the needs of the people on the streets, in the houses of the other families, so that the emphasis is often going to church and we go to a religious service as opposed to being the church in the community. And I think that's a part of the issue, too. But, hey, Errol, I especially appreciate listening, that you listen, because you don't agree with everything I say. So join the rest of the listeners. But thank you, sir, for the call. I appreciate it.
No problem.
All right. Hey, if you agree with absolutely every word I say all the time, that's fine. That's great. But if you say, I'd like him today, yesterday, or next day, I don't agree with that. Hey, I'm not expecting every one of you to agree with everything I say. If that was the case, my listening audience would be reduced to a handful of faithful few, like Joey and Andrew, right? A few others, family members. My family doesn't agree with every word I say. But I do seek to speak circumspectly and carefully. And there are hills I'm going to die on, friends. There are hills that, by God's grace, I would rather die than compromise. And this is one of them. This is one of them. This call to speak the truth in love, this call to not be people pleasers, this call to not walk in the fear of man, this call to go against the grain and swim against the tide, not because of our stubbornness, not because of our arrogance, not because of our unteachability, not because of our personal offensiveness, but because of the truth of the gospel, because people need the truth. Because it's the truth that sets us free. Jesus said to the Jewish people who were believing in him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I've had emails forwarded to me by people who are writing to the chairman of the board of JCPenney and saying, I will no longer shop at JCPenney because you have taken sides in the culture war. Rather than remain neutral, you chose to side with the homosexual agenda against the majority of your customers who hold traditional values. I'm referring to the recent Father's Day advertising showing two dads and their two adopted children. This is a letter from, these are being sent out, different individuals, and they're being forwarded letters to JCPenney. I appreciate people saying, hey, in good conscience, we can't shop there anymore, and what you're doing is offending us. But should it be a surprise? No. Should it be a surprise? Absolutely not. When JCPenney hires Ellen DeGeneres as their new spokesperson and as the face of JCPenney, I hope you pray for Ellen DeGeneres and for the love and mercy and truth of God to be revealed to her in a life-changing way. But when you say, hey, the face of JCPenney is now the face of the best-known lesbian in America, should we be surprised when JCPenney puts out a Father's Day ad with two dads? And if someone told you 10 years ago that was going to happen, would you have believed it? America needs the gospel.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Last night, someone gave me a book. Mike, the director of the school where I'm speaking, gave me a book as a gift to read. Os Guinness, Prophetic Untimeliness, A Challenge to the Idol of Relevance. I thought, what? That fits with things I want to talk about today. Back cover, never have Christians tried to be so relevant, but never have Christians ended up so irrelevant. Oh, yeah, we got to be relevant. It's got to know what people are watching in the movies. Yeah, see, we got to go to the movies so that when we preach on Sunday mornings, we can be relevant and talk about the movies. Oh, come on. Come on. First, you're telling me that's the only reason you go. You tell me you're not going to be entertained yourself. You're going sacrificially because you got to know what's happening in the movies to be relevant. Okay, what about all the people in the congregation, or say at least in the world, that are into pornography? All kinds of pornography. Are you going to get online and start downloading pornography to know what they're into so that you can be, quote, relevant? Come on. You're going to get yourself polluted and go to some trashy R-rated movie with gratuitous sex, violence, and profanity so that you can know what the people are watching so you can give an illustration from that movie and that, what, and people then get saved? Wow, that pastor's so relevant. He talked about that movie I saw last night. And wow, you don't get saved because of that. 866-34-TRUTH. To the phones, Michelle in Brooklyn, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, Michelle, you're on the air.
Yes, well, I'm calling about the gospel. Going forward, it seems like the church is so ashamed of the gospel, which is the light. And we are the light of the world. You know, that a city that is set on a hill should not be hid. And I don't know why we are hiding the gospel of truth.
What do you think? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. Because they're ashamed. They're ashamed. God said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. My father will be ashamed of you. So. Yeah. They should really go out they forgot the commission or neglected the commission of God. They're just waiting for people to come in to the church, the four walls, and everybody just keeps it to themselves, selfish. But I thank God that he has allowed me and put a zeal in me to go out there and to give the gospel. I even wear a big banner on myself, Holiness Unto the Lord. You know, Zechariah 14:20, and in the back of it says, you don't have to be a prisoner of sin. Be set free in Jesus' name. You know, Jesus Christ is the high judge. He's the judge, the most high. You can be set free from your sins. So
what kind of reaction do you get to that message?
It seems like sometimes little children, they understand it more than the church people. The church people, I said, why are you wearing that? Why are you wearing that? I said, you know, to get the word out. This is what God gave me to do. And they're like, you know, they don't really, most of them, a lot of them don't agree with it. But the children say, oh, that's a good word. Children, little children, the children will lead them. Babies will lead the grown-up. I'm so shocked at a lot of them. They're so ashamed of it. They don't want to sit by me. They don't, you know, they have a kind of, you know, reaction towards me.
Yeah, you know? And look, Michelle, obviously not everyone is called to wear a banner like that. But if the Lord gave you to do that, You do it, and it is a picture of who we're supposed to be. In other words, even if we're not wearing the banner, we should be shining the light. People should know that we're different people that Amen. Work with us and listen to us over a period of time, she realized, okay, you're different. The way you live, the way you act, the way you conduct yourself, you're different. That Amen. Should shine out of us. May the Lord give you grace to see many set free. Michelle, and notice the message, not just holiness, but you don't have to be a prisoner of sin. There is liberty and freedom. Come on. We don't want the world to think we're crazy. We don't want the world to think we're religious fanatics. We don't want the world to think we're like this lady wearing a holiness banner. No. We're sophisticated. We're very sophisticated in our faith. And we can talk about what's happening in the world and the devaluation of the euro and the Fast and Furious and then the guard government and the documents. And will there be a contempt charge against Attorney General Holder? Fine. Know what's happening in the world. Know what's happening in the news. Roger Clemens found not guilty of all charges and was using performance-enhancing drugs. Okay, fine. Understand what's happening in the world. Understand what's happening in society. No one says we got to stick our heads in the sand. I certainly don't believe we're supposed to stick our heads in the sand. But how about the gospel? How about not just being educated, being relevant, being able to address all of the issues? How about being able to tell people how to be saved, what it means to be born again, what it means to repent, what it means to lead a new life, how there is no salvation outside of Jesus. And that means we speak the truth in love to a dying world. Here's the kind of email we get. I may have read this to you originally, but Jonathan wrote to us. I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. Know that he came into my heart to forgive my sins. However, I'm going back to my old way of life and the homosexual lifestyle. I pray for God to heal me mentally and emotionally, but the more I pray, the more I want my old way of life. Can I really change to live a holy lifestyle? Is it possible to change completely? I'm very frustrated and confused because I don't believe I can completely change. Can God heal me spiritually so that I can be made whole? My thought life is a mess. I'm going to bars again. Will you please pray for me? So we immediately sent that over to our prayer team, wrote him back, and said, we're praying for you. Also, if you'd like to receive a free book from us, we want to send it. And I sent him a book and then a CD to listen to. And he wrote back a few days later, I don't know if my previous email went through, so I want to send it again. I received the book and CD you sent me. I've started reading the book and already can relate to most of it. It's You Don't Have to Be Gay by Jeff Conrad. Thank you very much for your ministry and praying for me. I didn't expect your thoughtfulness. Well, of course, Jonathan, we're here for you, man. We want to see people whole. We want to see people free. We want to see people living out God's plan and purpose for their lives. And friends, you are a part of this. As you listen to the show, you're a part of this. As you pray for us, you're part of us. As you share what you learn here with others, you're part of us. We're doing this together. As you contribute financially, you're part of us. So I want to appeal again without shame, because all the funds that come in go right out to radio. The funds you send us don't pay salaries, and our salaries are modest, and I'm pleased to say that. They don't pay other things. The funds you send us go right back into radio so that we can reach more and more people, and into our missionaries as well, laboring for Jesus around the world, and into our Jewish outreach. That's where the funds go. So would you stand with us? Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size, my thank you to you, a copy of Revolution, The Call of Holy War, one of the most life-changing books I've ever written. Tens of thousands have been impacted by the book, by God's grace. Revolution, The Call of Holy War, over 300 pages. My thank you for your gift of any size. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or why don't you become a torchbearer today? Standing with us at least $25 per month, we send you a new message every month. We give you free access to all of our online classes. And we give you a 15% discount in our online bookstore for your order of any size. So why don't you stand with us, become a monthly torchbearer, hold our hands up, so that when I say together we're making a difference, you're like, yeah, I'm part of that. I'm part of that. And, of course, we'll also send you the Revolution book. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978, or go online. Go to askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, you can make a one-time donation. You can become a torchbearer. And either way, we'll be sending you the Revolution book today. My bottom line, it is time for us to speak the truth and not be ashamed and not cower and not compromise and not water the message down. People need the truth. We have the truth. Do not hold back in the sight of God or man. There's no doubt about it. The gospel message brings offense. Why then do we try to candy coat it and water it down?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Why were the prophets persecuted? Why did Jesus tell his followers that we, would be persecuted the way the prophets were? Was it not because they spoke the truth from God? Was it not because they shined God's light into the darkness? Was it not because they confronted society with sin and called them to repentance? Was it not because they stood for righteousness in the midst of unrighteousness? And if we are called to do the same thing, why? Why must we constantly water the message down? Why must we try to remove the offense of the cross? Why must we come up with this new and improved method, which in fact doesn't help and doesn't save? Why do we water it down? Why do we candy coat the message? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us this Wednesday on The Line of Fire. Wednesday means the world. Our focus is on moral and cultural issues. And my simple question today is this: if the gospel message offends, why do we try to candy coat it, water it down, make it palatable? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If the condition is very serious, why do we give a non-serious solution? Speaking metaphorically, if the patient is dying and in need of radical surgery, why do we offer the person a pain pill? Oh, a sweet-tasting pain pill. If the person is drowning, why do we offer them a nice sandwich? Why is it that we feel this need, this compulsion in America today, not to use wisdom? Wisdom is wonderful. Wisdom is important. Not to be sensitive and to really understand where someone is at. That's important. Why, though, do we have to paint a new picture of Jesus and paint a new picture of the gospel and tell it differently and make it nice and frilly so that everybody will like it? Friends, that's not the gospel. And that's not the way to help people. And that's not the way to change people's lives. I'm sick and tired of a pep talk gospel that just is going to give you a motivational speech to make it through another week. Paul writes to Timothy and writes to us, endure hardship as a good soldier of Messiah Jesus. We're in a battle. We're in a war. Oh, no, we are not fighting physically. Even if people persecute us for the gospel, we are not fighting physically. We are not out to physically do war with people, God forbid, not for the gospel. I'm not talking about if you're a soldier in the army. I'm talking about for the gospel. We're different kinds of soldiers. But come on, friends. We are supposed to be battle-tested soldiers in the midst of hardship, difficulty, speaking the truth at any cost, following Jesus by life or by death. That's the norm. And instead, we just want to have this really nice message to everybody. Oh, he's just so good and wonderful that you just can't help but love it. Well, that's true on a certain level. That's true that when you really come to know God, he's so amazing, he's so overwhelmingly good and beautiful that all you can do is love him. I'm here in Pennsylvania teaching in a ministry school for a couple of days and then scheduled to fly home after the shows tonight. I came in at the end of worship this morning and it was beautiful. Oh, the beautiful presence of the Lord. Oh, just being in his presence, you just want to love him. The joy, his goodness. No apologetic intellectual answers bring you there, just that reality of his presence. Oh, how beautiful and wonderful. I want the whole world to know his beauty and wonder. But that is not the only description of our God. He's also a God of judgment. He's also a consuming fire. He's also a God that is a God of wrath for those who don't repent. That's part of his beauty. Are we willing to tell the truth? Or we've got a candy coat it so everybody will like us? Let's talk about it.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you agree with me? Do you agree with me that so much gospel preaching in America today, from our pulpits, through the airwaves, on the streets, is watered down? Is watered down and candy-coated so as to remove the offense of the cross and remove the offense of the exclusivity of the gospel only through Jesus and to remove the offense of the high and holy standards of God. 866-348-7884. Why do we do it? Is it trying to save our lives? Is it trying to save our reputation? Is it that we want people to like us? Is it we're afraid to tell the truth because it's too confrontational or offensive? 866-34-TRUTH. I wrote an article on townhall.com yesterday about legislating morality. Can you? Can't you? And someone wrote in, whenever you tell a liberal there's such a thing as right and wrong, they always say that you should see the shades of gray. This is the problem. Too many people can't see the difference between right and wrong. Everything is gray. Look, you read Scripture, there is such a thing as wickedness. I realize, reading Scripture, often it's just like this holy smack in between the eyes. Oh, yes, yes. There is such a thing as human wickedness. There is such a thing as human rebellion. I mean, we tend to look at society and even people who do evil, people who rape, people who murder, people who steal. We often see their backgrounds, and they had several strikes against them through their lives. And on the one hand, whatever we can do to have compassion on a fellow human being does reflect God's heart as well. And yes, there are people who are victimizers who themselves were victimized themselves when they were younger. I understand that terrible cycle. But we forget that people still do wicked things that are wicked in God's sight. That people harden their hearts in sin, that nobody made that man kill another man, that nobody made that woman kill her child, that there are wicked acts. I'm not talking about someone who's mentally incapacitated and doesn't understand what they're doing. I'm talking about people who recognize they're doing wrong and choose to do it. There is wickedness. And often we get things so obscured. There's no right, wrong. You have your opinion, I have mine. You have your truth, I have my truth. Chatting with a brother about that last night. What kind of saying is that? You have your truth, I have my truth. Yeah, you go to the airport. The pilot may say, we're going to Charlotte tonight from Pennsylvania. He's got his truth, I got mine. No, that's where the plane's going. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, I just want to share some things that are happening in the world, happening in society, just to remind us of how desperately our nation needs God and needs revival and needs the truth. How about this? This is fascinating. A major survey was done. Let me get the right report here. Here we go. A major survey was done. It's over 26 years, involving 143,197 people in 67 countries. You get that? Comprehensive analysis, 26 years of data, involving 143,197 people in 67 countries. The key finding, according to Azim F. Sharif, who's a professor of psychology and director of the Cultural and Morality Lab at the university that conducted this. The key finding is that controlling for each other, so you have to balance factors out, a nation's rate of belief in hell predicts lower crime rates. Isn't that interesting? A nation's rate of belief in hell predicts lower crime rates, but the nation's rate of belief in heaven predicts higher crime rates. Now, I haven't looked at the study carefully, but I wonder if it is belief in heaven to the exclusion or negation of belief in hell that predicts higher crime rates. In other words, if you say hell and heaven are both truths we believe in, how will that affect things? Because this belief in hell lowers crime rates, belief in heaven raises crime rates. I would have to understand that when people realize there are eternal consequences to their sins and their deeds, it does affect their lifestyles. The fear of the Lord is an incentive not to sin and is an antidote for sin. And when you have a belief in heaven that is not accompanied with a message of holiness, not accompanied with a message of repentance, not accompanied with an emphasis on the fact that heaven is a place of holiness. In other words, when you just talk about heaven, it'd be wonderful to go to heaven, and you hear about, say, some 20-year-old guy that went out on some rampage. He raped a little girl and molested her and killed her, and then went and burned down the parents' home as they were trying to catch him, and shot the parents in cold blood, and then turned on some cops and then shot them in cold blood as they were pursuing him. And then as he drove away, crashed in his car, and we say, well, he's in a better place. What do you mean he's in a better place? Based on what? Someone commits all kinds of vile, horrific crimes, and just because they die, they go to a better place? Well, if people believe that, you might have higher crime rates. Interesting. Just a stat. Share with you. 866-34-TRUTH. To the phones, Ron in Toronto. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for having me on the air.
You're welcome.
First of all, I just want to thank you for writing the real kosher Jesus.
Oh, you're very welcome.
I got my numbered copy from you. It was terrific. It was worth the wait.
Wonderful. What number were you?
66.
66. Good for you, man. Well, I'm so glad you're one of the early ones to order and get the special collector's edition. Hey, just out of curiosity, was there anything in particular that you liked best about the book or that was most enlightening for you?
Yes. It's when you were referring to Rabbi Shmuley's depiction of the kosher Jesus.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember specifically where you critiqued it in the book. You did several places.
Yeah, one of the major chapters was how a well-meaning rabbi hijacked Jesus.
That was it.
Okay.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, and you the way you critiqued it, I mean, you were fair. However, you showed major differences between, obviously, Rabbi Shmuley's depiction of Jesus and yours. And what I believe, too. And I really got a lot out of that because I haven't read his book yet.
Yeah, well, you'll find I was certainly fair, of course, but thank you for the good word. We keep hearing wonderful reports about the book.
I know the Lord. Just one thing before I ask this question.
Yeah, yeah.
You went to a scripture in Romans, and we're studying Romans at our Bible study. And I said to my friend, I said, of all the scriptures Dr. Brown picks, he goes into Romans, the vine, the branch.
Romans 11, chapter. Yeah, Romans the 11th chapter about the olive tree.
26.
Yeah.
I said to my friend, would you believe it? That's exactly where we're at right now in our Bible study.
Well, good.
And I thought that was rather significant that you would pick that scripture to write in the front of my book. And I do so appreciate it.
Yes, Romans 11:26 with the promise of Israel's salvation. Yeah, listen, Ron, I experienced real supernatural grace in writing that in a period of 3 weeks and seeing it published in a little over 2 months from the day I started writing it. So I can step back and praise God for it, too, because I feel like I was a spectator getting to watch this. But anyway, back to your comment. But thank you, sir, for the good word. So
yeah,
your
just
comment.
One more thing before my question. To all your listeners today, please get a copy of that book, because it is a fantastic read.
Okay. Did you hear that? From Ron in Toronto, get your copy of The Real Kosher Jesus today. All right, go ahead, your question.
Okay, my question. First of all, I agree with you regarding the church and the watered-down gospel, but I think you've hit the nail on the head. You've talked about this before. The church does not want to speak the truth. They do not want to minister the truth. Why? It's just my feeling, my opinion. However, if you agree with me that the gospel is really a commentary on the Old Testament,
well, it's certainly the full revelation and clarification and expansion of the Old Testament. Sure.
Okay, I really believe that today churches, whether it be in the United States or Canada, not every church, but many of them. First of all, their pastors, and I know this specifically because I've talked to a number of pastors, they don't believe the Old Testament is alive. It's gone. It's done.
All right, tell you what, Ron. We come back. I'll share some thoughts on that. So stay right there. Pam, Joan, you're going to hear from you. Stay with us.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
As our last caller mentioned, the Real Kosher Jesus, just checked the Amazon listing in the during the break and saw there was a brand new review just posted today. Another very gracious 5-star review. So good to hear that the book is touching people, making an impact. So Ron, in terms of the question of the Old Testament, we are not to be preaching mandatory Torah observance for all believers today. However, the Old Testament prophetic truths, the Old Testament truths of who God is and how we come to know Him are not changed through Jesus. They reach their pinnacle. They reach their apex through Him. In Him, the fullness of God dwells in bodily form, Colossians 2:9. And the pinnacle of the message of repentance, turn from sin, turn to God, empowered by God's grace, that is found in Jesus and then through His people, empowered by the Spirit. And many times we want to put this dividing line between Old Testament and New Testament. Then why does Jesus tell His disciples in Matthew 5:10-12 that when they're persecuted for righteousness, that's just what happened to the prophets? You're being persecuted, He said, just like the prophets were of old. And Jesus is rejected, as I show in the Real Kosher Jesus book. He speaks as a prophet to His generation, the last great prophet, the greatest of all, the prophet with a capital P. But He's rejected by the religious establishment just as earlier prophets were. Why? Because the truth of God uncovers sin, because the truth of God makes people uncomfortable, because the truth of God brings about change. Ron, thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH. Why do we water down the gospel message so much? Why do we just have this pep talk, feel-good Christianity that is so dominant in America today? Why are we afraid to speak the truth in love? Now, you can differ with me. You can say you don't think we're doing that. I see it on epidemic levels in America. And I see the epidemic level of a compromised gospel manifested in the epidemic level of a nation that's lost its moral bearings and moral conscience. Oh, no, we were never some perfect Christian nation. But you better believe there were times in our past when we were far more God-aware, far more God-conscious, far more God-fearing. Year and a half ago, I debated my friend Rabbi Shmuley on the subject of homosexuality. And he wanted to use the title for the debate, Is Homosexuality America's Moral Greatest, America's Greatest Moral Crisis? Is Homosexuality America's Greatest Moral Crisis? That was the subject of the debate. And my answer was no. No, homosexuality is not America's greatest moral crisis. Now, I believe that homosexual activism is the greatest threat to religious freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, which is why I address these things out of the burden that I have and out of love for people. But I said no, and Nancy and I talked about it. She said, how are you going to answer that? I said, no, homosexual activism is a real issue in America, but no, homosexuality is not America's greatest moral crisis, and we both agreed on what America's greatest moral crisis was, lack of God consciousness. Lack of God consciousness. That strikes at the root of our moral malaise. and backslidden condition or unsaved condition in America. Lack of God consciousness is at the root of it. And we, God's people, must proclaim who he is and demonstrate who he is to the world. 866-34-TRUTH. Pam in Portland, Oregon, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, I'm very honored to be speaking to you, Michael.
Well, thank you.
I'm calling you because I've heard of this dual covenant theory that Jews can be saved without believing in Jesus as the Messiah and Son of God. I've heard it on the Narrow Path Bible program, and I've read it in a book as well. Can you tell me about this and why this? And I've heard that Reverend Hagee is a leading proponent of this theory.
Yeah, no, I spoke with John Hagee, Pastor Hagee, directly, and asked him if he held to dual covenant theology. And to my face, in the presence of other witnesses, he told me he did not. And I said,
Do
Jews need Jesus in order to be saved? He said they do. Now, I questioned other statements he had made and things he had written that gave another impression. But I'm only telling you that when I asked him to his face, not challenging him, but asking honestly and plainly out of concern in the presence of other witnesses when we met face-to-face in Charlotte, he plainly answered a certain way. So I want to report that. However, I understand why there are rumors and beliefs to the contrary. But in short, and I've talked about this on the air, Pam, in fact, if you give us an email address afterwards, give that to Andrew, we'll send you a link to when I've talked about these things on the air at greater length. But in short, this is the belief that Jews have their own covenant with God, that it's never changed, that God gave the Torah to Moses for the Jewish people. And if a Jew today will observe the Torah to the best of their ability, where they fall short, will repent and ask God for forgiveness, that they will be accepted by God, that Jesus is for the Gentiles, and he's a light to the nations. Now, of course, the reason that that cannot work is because Jesus came as the Messiah of Israel. And it's only because he's the Messiah of Israel that he's a light to the nations. And through the law comes the universal knowledge of sin. And Paul says in Galatians 2, if righteousness came by the law, then Messiah died in vain. So bottom line, in short, Pam, if there was a way of salvation for Jewish people outside of Jesus, then Jesus didn't need to come and die for anyone. And by the way, in my book, Real Kosher Jesus, which was just recommended a moment ago, I have a whole section on that. Is Jesus only a light for the Gentiles and not also the Savior of Israel? But that ties in with my subject of watering down the gospel. In other words, it's offensive to tell Jewish people that they need Jesus to be saved. And after the Holocaust, the horrors of the Holocaust, which were only possible because of centuries of European anti-Semitism among professing Christians, many churches looked at things and said, well, we have to realize that God has his own covenant with Israel and we can't preach this negative message anymore. I appreciate the desire to be compassionate, but in the end, it ends up telling people something that is not true. It is another manifestation of a watered-down gospel here, an outright false gospel. All right, so Pam, stay right there. Andrew will get your email address, and we will send you the link. Others, just go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the Line of Fire, and search for the words dual covenant, and you'll find out about that serious error. Friends, if you believe in what we're doing, if you want to stand with me, hold my hands up and say, Mike, we're with you. You're not doing this alone. We're standing with you. We're not just listening, but we're standing with you. Give us a call today. Our team's ready to take your call, 1-800-278-9978. My thank you gift for your gift of any size to help us with this radio ministry and with our missions work worldwide. My thank you gift to you for your gift of any size is my book, 330-page book, Revolution, The Call of Holy War. It'll revolutionize your life as you read it. This is also a great time to become a monthly torchbearer. Stand with us on a monthly basis. Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. Stand with us today.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is my joy to be with you today on the line of fire and to have this radio broadcast so that I can raise my voice and speak the truth and encourage you, my friend, to swim against the tide of a secular, worldly, godless society, and often swim against the tide of a compromised Christianity. Go against the grain of the politically correct culture and stand up and do what's right. My thesis today is simple, that we have watered down the truth of the gospel, be it to save our reputation, be it to be received by people, be it because we don't want to offend, be it because we don't recognize the urgency of the situation, be it because we are ashamed of Jesus, but we have watered down the message in so many ways that we have been reduced by and large to a pep talk Christianity that doesn't heal and doesn't save. What do you think? Do you agree with me? And if so, why have we so compromised the message? Why have we so candy-coated it and watered it down? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-384-7884. Many of you know that I've written a commentary on the book of Jeremiah. It came out in 2010. It's in the new edition of the Expositor's Bible Commentary. It's 550 pages, but it's written in a way that any serious student of Scripture can understand. We have some notes that get into real depth, and if you know Hebrew or have further background, you can dig even deeper. But it's written for every serious student of the Word. It's written for pastors, for serious students of the Word, for those that really want to understand what God is saying through Jeremiah and its relevance for us today. And Jeremiah had a constant battle with false prophets. Jeremiah was preaching the truth that the temple in Jerusalem was going to be destroyed, that the Jewish people would go into exile. It was an unpleasant and painful message, and he had to preach it for 40 years, often virtually alone. And he had a constant battle with the false prophets who told the people, no, no, it's not so bad. No, no, not, no, God's not angry like that. No, no, that kind of judgment's never going to come. And this word, Jeremiah 6:14, quoted verbatim in 8:11, virtually verbatim. Speaking of the false prophets, they superficially treat the fracture of my poor people, saying, peace, peace, shalom, shalom. All is well, when there is no shalom, when nothing is well. Paul warns Timothy, 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, it was relevant then, it's relevant in our day, that the time would come when people would not put up with sound doctrine anymore, but instead would gather around them teachers to tell them what their itching ears wanted to hear. We have tried to make the gospel fashionable. We have tried to make the gospel relevant. We have tried to make the gospel acceptable. We have tried to make the gospel palatable. And ultimately, in doing so, we cannot save, we cannot help, we cannot deliver, we cannot really do what God has called us to do as his vessels, as his vehicles. I get lots of news links sent to me. Different friends send them. One colleague in particular sends them to me on a regular basis. And these remind me of the terrible, deep, serious need in our nation. As we got ready for Father's Day, this headline was sent to me. One out of three children live in biological father absent homes in America. Can you imagine that? Some of you don't have to imagine it. That's your own upbringing. That's your own family now. One in three kids in America lives in a home without a biological father. And you know, you read increasingly bizarre headlines. The vampire. I'm not even going to get into that one. It's too crazy. Cross-dressing UGA professor charged with prostitution. Cross-dressing professor at a university charged with prostitution. It's almost a picture of the moral confusion, desperation of our nation.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is what I posted on my Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown, one word on Facebook. Join me there. This is what I posted on Facebook before the show started today. The true gospel will always offend the flesh. Why then do we try to candy coat it? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Before we go to the phones, just notice this post on my Facebook page from Steve Brown. Dr. Brown, my name is Steve Brown. I'm from Ireland. Hey, Steve, I remember you. You've got the same name that one of my uncles had, and we don't hear from folks every day from Ireland on the radio show. So I remember when you called in, when Ray Comfort was on, and we had his New Zealand, California accent and your Ireland accent. Steve says, you asked that I keep you informed of a pro-life conference which is happening in Northern Ireland this Saturday. Please pray for us that we would impact the evangelical community and reignite a burden for our unborn brothers and sisters. Would you pray that God would do that? Oh, it's going to stir up some controversy. Abortion is wrong. Abortion is sin. That's going to stir up some controversy. You're killing babies in the womb. That's going to stir up some controversy. Yes, at the same time we speak that, we must be reaching out to the mothers. And many women are in very difficult situations, and many of them were sexually abused, because of which they're having a child. When I say many, I know it's a tiny, tiny percentage overall. Less than 1% of abortions have to do with rape. But it's still a number of people, and what traumatic decisions they have, or others that say, I can't bring another kid in the world. We're starving. They can't feed the kids currently. I understand their hardships. But abortion is sin in God's sight. It is killing babies in the womb. It's part of the truth we have to speak. It's the truth. You may want to say it certain ways, but it's the truth. So may God use this conference. May God give them both wisdom and anointing to bring about change in Ireland. Okay. I saw this note that was sent in a little while ago, and I mentioned I was probably going to read it on the air. Listen to this. From Tim, I have a friend who professes to be a follower of Christ. He's in a leadership position in our church. I believe God has gifted him. I also believe that I've seen fruit of Christ at work in his life. However, he uses very foul language all the time and is crude and crass. Many times I feel he's trying to shock people. Then he uses theology and scripture to justify what he's doing. Theology and scripture in quotes. I'm burdened for him, feel that he's very confused and immature. I'm planning on talking to him soon. I wasn't sure if he had encountered someone like this before, if he had any advice as to how I should approach talking to him. Tim, of course, you speak with humility to someone who's a leader, and you appeal to this person. But this is, to me, another manifestation of a watered-down message where we're gonna shock people. We're not religious. I'm not religious. See, I use all this crude language. Now, that may not be his motivation, but my guess is that's part of it. And, of course, it's just an outlet for the flesh. See, I'm not going to be religious. You religious people, you don't use these words. You religious people, you don't use these particular terms. You don't talk like this. Hey, I'm going to talk straight. You're talking about sexual things. I'm going to talk straight. And some people are like, wow, I like this guy. I can really listen to him. He talks straight. He's not religious. That's the alleged motivation. And all it is thinking that we can advance the purposes of the Spirit by being in the flesh. All it is thinking that we know better than God, who calls us to purity of heart and speech. I would start reading with him out loud from Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 29, through the first number of verses in Ephesians 5. You can go right up to Ephesians 5:16 if you like. But I'd start there, Ephesians 4:29, and say, hey, could we read this together once you raise the issue? And then do a little study in the book of Proverbs about the tongue and about the nature of words that we speak. And in Proverbs 12:18, how reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And many other verses that our speech, according to Colossians, the fourth chapter, should always be seasoned with salt. And the verse that I was referring to in Ephesians 4:29, that we should let no unwholesome communication come out of our lips, but only that which is good, that would build up the hearers, edify the hearers. And then in the fifth chapter, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving, that our speech should be such that it reflects the beauty and purity of Jesus. Oh, no, we're not religious in our church. We talk straight. It's one thing to talk straight and be honest. It's one thing to talk straight and be direct. It's one thing to talk straight and not candy coat issues. It's another thing to be profane, vile, to say things that create sexual, vulgar images in people's minds or seductive, salacious images in people's minds and that are just profane and obscene and vulgar and unbecoming. Listen, if I said any of these things, aside from the fact they get stopped because we have a few second delay, our guys in the studio would instantly stop them after they had a heart attack. It'd be absolutely, utterly, completely inappropriate and inexcusable. Inexcusable. Oh no, see, we're real cool. That's not being cool. Any more than some gal dressing like a prostitute so guys won't think she's hung up religiously and they'll talk to her. Any more than that's the gospel. 866-34-TRUTH. Yes, I am passionate about these things. Joan in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
All praises to God and his honor to the Lord. We have a lack of Bible knowledge in the churches. They're not starting with the truth as far as even the setup of the church. We don't have the fivefold ministry operating. We have one person, a pastor, who more or less a lot of times lifts himself up and have the people looking up to them. And the people are taught that if they do that, then they are accepted. And people want to have a place to go where they can feel comfortable.
Yeah, or Joan, at least you have someone that's hardworking, dedicated, and doesn't have a team, and doesn't have help, and people exalt that person. Yeah, but there's definitely a lack of scriptural knowledge in the body today. And you know what's interesting, Joan? The more that we have the Bible on our iPhones and iPads, the more that we have all these study tools on our computers, the less we actually know the Word of God.
Well, this is something that is true as far as in the church. That is, when you go to church, you don't get much of the Bible. We have to address the fact that the Bible, that the church, rather, is not set up to inform the people as to really how to be a Christian. And it's more than, you know, just that knowledge, too. You have to have the love to have it, you know, go out.
We got to live the thing out. And if we really love people, we'll tell them the truth. But yeah, there's a lack of solid discipling, which means a lack of really knowing the Word, which means that many of us can't answer objections, can't answer people that say, why do you believe what you believe? I don't mean some philosophical, theological answer. I mean just scripture, just being able to give people scripture and having the holy fear of the Lord in our hearts because of it. Yeah, we need prayer, Joan. Keep praying that we will be all that God is calling us to be. Bob in Palm Harbor, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, am I on the air now?
Yes, you are, Bob.
Okay, I have 4 points here. There was a controversy started about 10 years ago between John MacArthur, Lordship Salvation, and Dr. Ryrie, who I accepted that view.
Charles Ryrie and Zane
John
Hodges,
John MacArthur. John MacArthur believed in Lordship Salvation, and Charles Ryrie, Dallas Seminary, don't believe in that. And most dispensationalists don't believe in that. Then there's another tendency, and then I'll propose a proposed solution, okay?
We just got to be brief because we got a break we're coming up to, so.
Okay. Yeah, I want to know your point of view. Okay. There is an organization that's been in existence for 75 years. And they did this study. The organization is the Navigators. They have the Navigators 2-7 program that causes people to know Scripture. It causes people how to witness, how to pray, and how to fellowship. The other organization is the U.S. Center on World Missions, How to Do Missions. And if these two, and also Evangelism Explosion, if a church had an evangelism explosion program, the Navigators Colossians 2:7 program, and also the U.S. Center on World Missions Perspectives program, it would be done. And it, what the behind all this is just laziness.
All right, so yeah, Bob, just to jump in, because we've got a break here. There's no question, if we as believers would give ourselves to the Great Commission, if we believed that people were really lost and that the gospel is their only hope, and we acted on it, within a year, America could be evangelized. Doesn't mean everyone would be saved, but within a year, America could be evangelized. Is laziness a root of the problem? I think so.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. Bob, I wish I had time to finish that discussion with you, but we've got a bunch of other callers. Time is short also. But I believe one reason for our spiritual laziness is we get so distracted with the materialism, with the love of this world, with the entertainment of this world. We do not have eternity stamped in our hearts and minds. Because of that, we are lax in our desire, our burden, our conviction to share the gospel with the world. By the way, the Lordship Salvation debate, I'll make real simple, all right? I was definitely more in the MacArthur camp than the Ryrie Hodges camp, although I understood where each was coming from. And each side could exaggerate the position of the other knowingly or unknowingly. But I do not believe you can reject the Lordship of Jesus and be saved. How's that for simplicity? You cannot reject the Lordship of Jesus and be saved. All right, Ray in Greenville, South Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'd like to say that a lot of it is self-reliance and pride and busyness. I mean, we think that we have to act and do as the world does, and it just sidetracks us. I mean, I battle with that in my own life. And, you know, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and everything else will be added to you.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that attitude. We have more of the attitude of, you know, let me see what I can do for myself. But we can't really do anything.
Right. And when we have that attitude, which is a worldly, human-centered attitude, we are not going to do one of the most challenging things to do, which is share the gospel, go against the grain, and rely on the truth and power of God alone. Yes, that's definitely part of the problem and part of why we water it down. Hey, we know better. We know better. All right, let me try to grab a few more calls. Danielle in Cleveland, Ohio, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, I'll cut to the quick.
All right.
Michael Brown, I just got your book, Kosher Jesus.
Yes.
I forget the title. I'm just starting.
The real Kosher Jesus. Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. I'm a Messianic Jew, too. Now, I don't celebrate Christmas or Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say the main problem with the churches is all along, and I'm going back because I believe to be a Christian is to be a Jew. And Christianity is Judaism in its final manifestation. And the problem has always been idolatry and the work of our hands, worshiping the work of our hands. And it has been greatly exacerbated by our increased technology, the televisions, the internet, and all the gadgets. And
yeah, Danielle, if we just to jump in, of course, the whole question about Messianic Judaism and following Jesus and Jewish roots, that's a whole other discussion. But, you know, one fellow had written in and said, hey, when he lived in New York, he'd get home from school and go out with his friends and play until it got dark every single day, just play in the streets, running, this and that. He said, now we get home and most part of kids are going to sit down and, you know, either be texting or playing some video game or surfing the net or doing whatever. And, you know, we do that as a culture. In other words, it's just press a button and get results. And that's not how it works with the gospel. And because of that, yeah, we're distracted. We're not motivated. And our senses are dulled. So, yes, I agree. Eileen in Sarasota, Florida. All right. I was going to say we're short on time, but I don't have to say that. All right. I know there are many other issues, just looking at some other comments here. I know there are many other issues, but I want to say in short that we have often watered down the message because we want people to like us. We have watered down the message because we are more conscious of this world than this world plus eternity. We have watered down the message often because we do not recognize the gravity of sin. We have watered down the message because we think we can somehow make it more palatable and get people to like us and all this plus heaven too. And in doing so, we have hurt ourselves, and more importantly, we have hurt our hearers. I want to encourage you to be courageous and stand up for what's right. I want to encourage you to be courageous and stand up for the truth. I want to encourage you to be courageous and, regardless of cost or consequence, do the right thing and speak the right thing and live the right thing. You've got a holy backbone in you. If you're a believer, you're born from above. You have holy backbone in you. You are a new creation in Jesus. Put on the new man, as Paul says. Take hold of what God has done. And the fact that you are called to be a soldier and to endure hardship and to be strong and to speak the truth in love. I want to strongly encourage you to stand with us today. Your gift of any size, we literally mean that, your gift of any size, my thank you gift to you for standing with us on this radio broadcast, for helping us sound the alarm and blow the trumpet. My thank you gift to you is a copy of the book Revolution, The Call of Holy War. By God's grace, it has radically impacted the lives of many, many readers whom we hear from still on a regular basis. 330 pages, but my thank you gift to you for your gift of any size. And better still, if you can become a monthly torchbearer, that's someone who stands with us with at least $25 per month. Monthly torchbearers get a new audio message from me every month, get a 15% discount on our online bookstore, and get free access to our online classes. So as you stand with us and help us reach people literally around the world and support our workers literally around the world and reach out to the Jewish people with the good news of Jesus on a daily basis in Hebrew, in Israel, and around America and the nations, you literally are standing with us, helping us every month. So call right now with a one-time gift or to become a torchbearer, and my thank you again will be a copy of Revolution, The Call of Holy War, a book that will help rock your world and make you into a world changer for Jesus. 1-800-278-9978. That's the number to call. 1-800-278-9978. Or you can just go online. If you give today online or become a torchbearer online, we will send this out to you as promised. You don't have to add in any other information. Just go to askdrbrown.org, where it tells you how to support us, make a donation. You can do that on the homepage today. One more time, the number is 1-800-278-9978. Excuse me, I'll get it out. And I will get this cough fixed. Oh, I know it's been a while. By God's grace, we'll get it dealt with once and for all. 1-800-278-9978. Hey, remember, if you haven't downloaded my new book, my new ebook, only $5.99, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. It's called In the Line of Fire. Go to Amazon.com. If you have a Kindle e-reader, great. But all you need, if you've got an iPad, if you've got any kind of tablet, smartphone, your computer, download the Kindle reader for your whatever you have, and you can get the book. And we made it really inexpensive because it's an ebook only. We're able to put it out very easily. In the Line of Fire, 70 articles from the front lines of the culture wars. You will be blessed and enriched, challenged as you read. Do that at Amazon.com. And tomorrow, oh yeah, Thoroughly Jewish Thursday coming your way. My bottom line today, will the fear of man stop you from telling the truth? Should not the fear of God and the love of man cause us to tell the truth?